ברוכים הנמצאים רבותיי, ברוך שחיינו וקיימנו וגיענו לזמן הזה. This is a great night, only because it is the first public event that I have attended in a year. Since the pandemic started, we haven't gone out to give derashot. Everything was derech the Zoom, the Zamzumim, all private in the house, in the synagogue. But to go out in public is a is something to celebrate, put it that way. And there couldn't have been to a better organization than Hazak. It's no secret the admiration I have for all the good work that they're doing. And I'm glad that I was able to break the ice tonight by starting our derashot to the Sibur with a derash v'chazak. Tonight's derash has been dedicated le'ilu nishmat Nisan ben Penina and Bechet Boris ben Tamara. Ruach Adonai t'nihem b'gan Eden. Amen. Rabotai, we read in the parasha yesterday, Ki Tisa, about Heta Egel. Now, that's a very dramatic, very catastrophic episode. Seems this is the first derash of the microphone in a year also, so it's not used to our derashot. It's okay, we'll get used to each other. So I studied the parasha of the Egel. And I revealed the great Hiddush, and I came to tell it to you tonight. It's incredible. But the revelation is not in Parashat Ki Tisa. I went to Parashat Ekev, because in Parashat Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his own words, reviews the Heta Egel. You see, in Parashat Ki Tisa, the Egel is happening in real time. In Parashat Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu now gives his narration of what happened. And therefore all the insights are the way Moshe Rabbeinu depicts what happened at Heta Egel. And it is from there that we're able to draw an incredible conclusion. So let's read a little. If you have Chumashim, I'm reading Parashat Ekev, it's Perek Tet. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ubchorev hekseftem et Adonai." Chorev is Har Sinai, you angered God. God wanted to destroy you. I went up to the mountain. I went to get the stones. Luchot HaBerit. The stones are called Luchot HaBerit. The tablets of covenant. I was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo achalti, mayim lo shatiti. I didn't eat, I didn't drink. Vayiten Adonai Eli, and God gave me et shenei luchot ha'abanim, the two stones. Ketuvim be'etzba Elohim, God wrote it himself. Ba'alehim, and on these stones, kechol ha'devarim asher dibir Adonai mechim bahar mitoch ha'esh b'yom ha'kahal. Vayhi miketz arba'im yom v'arvim layla, after 40 days and 40 nights, Natan Adonai Eli et shenei luchot ha'abanim luchot ha'berit. God gave me the tablets of covenant, berit. Vayom Adonai Eli, kum red maher mizeh, go down. The nation has become corrupt. They're wearing masks. They made avodah zarah. Listen to this language. God tells Moshe, leave me alone. Herif memeni. Vashmidem. I'll destroy them. I'll erase them. And from you I'll start a new nation. Va'efen va'ered menahar, it came down from the mountain. Va'ahar bo'er ba'esh, the mountain was on fire. U'shne luchot ha'berit, I'm carrying the luchot ha'berit. Al shetei yadai. Va'ere, I looked. V'hine hatatem la'Hashem lo'echem, I see you sinned. Asitem lachem egel masecha, you made the egel. Samtem mehem menaderek, you swayed from the road. Asher sivad l'vayetchem. Va'et post b'shne ha'luchot, I grabbed the luchot. Va'ashlichem me'al shtei yadai. And I threw them, va'ashaberem le'enechem, and I broke the luchot in front of your eyes. Rabotai, we know this parasha, but this is Moshe Rabbeinu's analysis. This is his review of Chet Ha'Egel. I made some observations that I would like to share with you. First and foremost, what does it mean luchot haberit? In Kitisa, it doesn't mention Luchot HaBerit. But when Moshe Rabbeinu refers to the Luchot, he doesn't just call them the tablets. He calls them the tablets of Berit. I want to know, what is this word Berit? Yes, I know, covenant, treaty. But what does that got to do with Luchot? Shtei Luchot HaBerit. That word that Moshe Rabbeinu introduces is the key to the whole sugya. Furthermore, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to throw the luchot, to break them, it says, va'etpos, he grabbed the luchot. What do you mean he grabbed? He was holding the luchot. He didn't have to grab them. He came down with the luchot in his hand. The way I always understood it, he had the luchot in his hand. Then when he saw the egel, he threw them. What does it mean, va'etpos, he grabbed onto the luchot? I'll tell you the way I saw from the Orachim HaKadosh, alav shalom. He says that actually Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't holding on to the Luchot, because the Luchot carry themselves. You see, as long as the words were on the Luchot themselves have their own lift. They propel themselves. However, once Moshe Rabbeinu brought them down and the Chet Ha'Egel was being done, the letters on the Luchot went up. Once the letters went up, the Luchot lost their lift. They lost their powers to carry themselves. And the Luchot fell into Moshe Rabbeinu's hands. So he had to grab them. And after he grabbed them, he threw them. That's what Raham HaKadosh says. Fantastic. I accept it. But tonight we came to say yet another pshat. And what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed the Luchot? Rabotai, we know there's not an extra word in the Torah. So it says he grabbed the luchot, he threw them. And it says, Va'ashaberem, I broke the luchot, le'enechem. What does that mean, le'enechem? In front of your eyes. Of course. Everybody was standing at Har Sinai. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he's on top of the mountain. Everybody could see it. So it's obvious that when he threw the luchot, it was in front of their eyes. If the Pasuk would have just have said, Va'ashaberim, it would have been enough. What is that extra word, Va'ashaberim na'enechem? It's obvious. But again, when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his assessment of Chet Ha'Egel, every word is measured. Every word is significant. Kal Kadosh, if you'll allow me, please, to ask one more question, which is probably the strongest of all the questions that I came to ask tonight. The question I came to ask you now is right at the end of the Torah. It's actually the last pasuk in the Torah. The last pasuk in the Torah, I'll read it to you, is read like this: "Ulchol ayad hazaka, ulchol amorah gadol, asher asam Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael." This pasuk was not written by Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had passed away already. This last pasuk is written by God Himself. And in this pasuk, God is giving a eulogy on Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's reviewing all the accomplishments that Moshe Rabbeinu did over the 40 years of his leadership. And the Torah tells us, number one, Ulcho Layad Hazaka. God says, don't forget Moshe Rabbeinu's strong hands. That she says, what does it mean, strong hands? Shekibel et haTorah beLuchot. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one with his bare hands brought down the Luchot. Meaning the second Luchot. The Luchot that we kept. Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says he had to wrestle with the angels in order to bring the Torah down. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands overpowered the hands of the Malachim. God says to the Jewish people, look at Moshe, your leader. His strong hands were able to bring down the Torah Kedoshah to you. Fantastic. Ulchol HaMorah Gadol. Don't forget the Morah Gadol. Don't forget the awesome power. What's the awesome power? Rashi says, Nisim u'giburot shebamidbar ha'gadol v'hanorah. Remember all the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did for you in the Midbar. After all, at one point, after Moshe was alive and Aharon had passed away and Miriam passed away, all the miracles in the Midbar was in the zichut of Moshe. The clouds of glory in the zichut of Moshe. The well in the zichut of Moshe. And the man in the zichut of Moshe. So God says, you know what type of man you had over here? You would not be able to survive in the Midbar, HaGadol BeHanorah, for 1 minute if it wasn't for the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, what he did. Don't forget, Ulchol HaMorah Gadol. And now we get to the last words, which the Torah ends on this. Asher Asa Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael. And don't forget what Moshe Rabbeinu did in front of the eyes of Israel. Now, I'm not going to look at Rashi for a minute. I'm going to take a guess. What is this talking about? Well, I know a rule. I know a rule in speeches. They tell you that when you're giving a speech, you always make your strongest point at the end. Because you want everybody to remember the last thing you said. Because at the beginning, the people forget. They always remember the last thing. The item that you want the people to go home with, you say it in the end. That's my theory. Everybody has their own theory. That's not true. Okay. What's your theory?
You defend your point from beginning to end.
But you must be a lawyer.
Becoming
a lawyer. Well, when you become a lawyer, you'll realize that I'm right. The point is, I know it from being a rabbi for many years. Not becoming a rabbi, from being a rabbi. When I make announcements in the synagogue, it's okay. You learn. I didn't know everything at your age either. As I got older, I learned. When I make a speech in the synagogue, I used to say, Rabotai, Mincha this afternoon is 5:15. And then I would make some other announcements. And then after I would finish, they say, but Rabbi, what time is Mincha? Yeah. I said, oh, they forgot. So now what I do is I make all the announcements. And at the end I say, Rabotai, Mincha 5:15. That's all they remember. That's the main thing they need to remember. When you're ending a dirash, especially when you're giving a hesped, you want the people to remember the greatest accomplishment of Moshe. So God says, and don't forget, this is what I will leave you with. Le'enei kol Yisrael. Le'enei kol Yisrael. What could that be talking about? You know what I thought? The splitting of the sea. Don't forget that when Moshe Rabbeinu took you out of Egypt, the Egyptians went back and the Yamsuf was in front. And if it was not for Moshe's Sidkut, he was able to split the sea and you were able to go B'toch Hayam B'Yabasha. You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Moshe. Le'enei kol Yisrael, the miracle that he did in front of all Israel. But my friends, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that's not what Le'enei kol Yisrael is referring to. Ela what? She says, "Le'enei kol Yisrael, shenisa'o libo lishbor haluchot." Hazak u'baruch Moshe Rabbeinu, you did the greatest thing. You broke the luchot, and the Torah ends. Hazak, end of speech, and I say, "What? This is called anticlimactic. You're telling me the greatest things that he did. He brought the luchot down in his bare hands. He fought the angels." He did all the miracles in the Midbar for you. And don't forget Rabotai. And with this I leave you with. Le'enei kol Yisrael. It was your great leader Moshe that broke the Luchot. As if breaking the Luchot was some great accomplishment. I always understood the breaking of the Luchot was a reaction. It was a reaction to a terrible situation. It was something that we would rather didn't happen. In the perfect world, the Jewish people don't do the Hetta Egel, and you don't have to break the Luchot. And here God says, you have to give your leader a Chazak Baruch. And if we remember Moshe for nothing else, remember what he did on that day that he broke the Luchot and Eko Yisrael. And I say to myself, Ribbono Shel Olam, why is that the greatest compliment, the greatest shevach to say about Adonenu Moshe? These are my questions, Rabotai. So let's begin to unravel this mystery. And you're going to see over here one of the greatest revelations. So I want to know first, what is Berit? What is this Berit? Luchot Berit. What is this word Berit? So I found, to my delight, a sefer that was written by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu wrote a sefer, we have it. It's called Sefer Yetzirah. Very deep. On Sefer Yetzirah, we have a perush of the Gaon Rabbi Eliyahu from Vilna. He explains, in Perek Aleph Mishnah Tet, because it's broken down into Mishnayot, I'm reading the Gaon. Omar Lecha, he says, I will tell you, Mahu Inyan Berit. Hazak Baruch, exactly what I was looking for. What is Berit? Vehu, Adam Shiesh Lo Ohev Kenafsho. Somebody has a friend. Ohev Kenafsho. A friend that he loves like himself. He doesn't want to leave them. They want to stay together. They have to depart. They have to part from themselves. They cannot stay together. He has to go back home. So they have to figure out a way, how are they going to keep the bond? How are they going to keep the connection? So he says, Noten lo davar shekol magamato v'tshukato elav. One of the friends takes something that's very dear to him, a part of him, and he gives it to his friend. And he says, through this item, you will remember me. It's like a memento, a souvenir. That even though I'm leaving, as long as you look at this item, you know this is a piece of me, a part of me. Therefore, you remember me through this item. What does the word mean? The covenant means that we share a certain item, and as long as this item is between us, our relationship will be close. Usually, in the olden days when they would make berit, if you remember in the old days, they would actually cut themselves and they would give from their blood. They would share their blood with the person that they loved to show loyalty. I'm giving you my most important asset, my blood, a piece of me. And they would keep the mark of that blood. And as Hazak Baruch, I don't want to say it. They would see that mark of the blood, they know they have a berit. Somebody else would take from their garment and cut from their garment and say, take this here. You take it from your garment? Yes, that's for me. As long as you have a piece of garment, you remember I'm with you. That's the berit. That's why whenever we talk about berit, we always use the lashon, lichrot berit. What does lichrot mean? Koret berit. Why is it koret? To cut. What do you mean to cut? You cut a covenant? Yes. Because in the olden days, they would cut a piece of themselves, kibyakul, a piece of themselves, and they would give it to the one that they love, and they would connect themselves. That's the way the Gaon understands Berit. Yesod Gadol. And then he says, Vezehu inyan lashon kirita. Shekoret memenu davar hadavuk lo. He cuts something that's attached to him. Oh. Gemara Berachot, page 32. The Gemara over here quotes a pasuk in the parasha we just read. The pasuk says that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet Ha'Egel, God says to Moshe, Anihali. What does Anihali mean? Hazak Baruch. Leave me alone. God says, leave me alone. So the Gemara says, leave me alone and I will destroy them. Amar bi Abahu. El malim mikra katuv. If the pasuk wouldn't say such a thing, you cannot talk like this. Milamed shetefasom Moshe lehakadosh baruch hu. It's almost as if to say God grabbed Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe grabbed Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ke adam shu tofeset habero bebigdo. It's like you grab your friend by the shirt. Ve'amar lefanav rebono shel olam. En ani manichacha. I'm not letting you go until you forgive them. And God says, hey, ani ani. No, I'm not letting you go. If you look in Parashat Ekev, the pasuk says, heref memeni. Heref memeni means, let go of me. So the Gemara says, you can't even talk like this. But that's what it sounds like. It sounds like Kibyan Kod Moshe was holding on to God. And he wouldn't let him go. So the Gaon Mevilna, the Gaon Rabbi Eliyahu from Vilna, has a pirush on this Gemara. This is the whole key. This is the paper that fell from the Shamayim this week in order to reveal the secret. It's a sefer called Imre Noam. Imre Noam on Masechet Berachot Daf Lamed Bet. And I quote, Ve'atah nihali. מלמד שתפס משה לקדוש ברוך הוא בבגדו כאדם התופס לחברו, says the Gaon, המאמר הזה תמוע. This Gemara is astounding. מה שאין הפה יכול לדבר. You don't even have to say such a thing. וחלילה לומר שהדברים כפשוטם. You cannot explain this Gemara literally. What do you think? Moshe Rabbeinu can hold on to God? He was holding on to his shirt, and God has to say to Moshe, hey, let me go. Erep emeni, ani ali. Chas v'shalom, the Gaon says. There's something much deeper over here. So he goes on to explain. The Luchot. The first Luchot. Where were they manufactured, the first Luchot?
In Shamayim.
Exactly. They were not hewn from a mountain. They were not mined from a cave. The first Luchot were made in heaven. The Gaon Mevilna says, anything that's made from the handiwork of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyachol is a piece of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a chelik of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork. It's like the neshama that God gives us. It's a chelik of Hashem. Chelik Elokam Imal. The luchot were manufactured by God on the luchot that says made in heaven. The Mishnah says a Pirkei Avot. It's one of the 10 things that was created before the world. Bereshit Hashem and Erev Shabbat, the luchot. The luchot kibyachol is a piece of God. It's a chelik. Kibyachol. Of course, God has no image. But since this is creation, I'll read you the Gaon's Lashon. The Klalahu, Klala means it's a principle. The Chol Davar Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Kore Shemo Alav, whatever God puts His name on, Nikra Oto Davar Gamkin Hashem. Ushne Luchot Hayad Davar Gadol. Behelek Elokam Mima'al. These luchot were not just tablets or stone. They represent a chelek of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork, which is kibyachol, a piece of Hashem. I want to ask you a question, Abotai. Imagine I tell you, I need you to be a messenger for me. So, of course, Hacham, my pleasure. What's the shilichut? I need you to take this envelope, please, very important envelope. I need you to go to Beverly Hills. There's somebody that lives over there. Here's the address. Please deliver the envelope. Hacham, I know Beverly Hills very well. Na'asev nishma. You go. You get to the address. You ring the bell. The guy answers. You say, I have an envelope for Mr. Ploni. Are you Mr. Ploni? No, Mr. Ploni doesn't live here anymore. He moved 2 years ago. Sorry. Do you know where he moved? No. He closes the door. Now, what's the proper behavior for you to do at that moment? You take the letter, you come back to me, say, Hacham, I went to Beverly Hills, I went to the house, Mechila, the guy doesn't live there anymore, here's the letter back. What if you went like this? He doesn't live there anymore? Okay, I take the letter, I rip it up into 100 pieces, Happy New Year, I throw it in the air, confetti. Now, I come back, I say, where's the letter? Oh, he wasn't there, the guy. Oh, good, where's the letter? No, I ripped it up into a million pieces. What gives you the right? What gives you that? You have to come back to me. Give me the letter back. What gives the right to Moshe Rabbeinu to break the Luchot? Hashem says, go give it to Bnei Yisrael. When he gets there, the receiver is not there. Again, the Jewish people left. They abandoned. So Moshe Rabbeinu should say, well, the recipient is not there. Borei Olam, here's your Luchot back. What gives Moshe Rabbeinu the right to take the Luchot, rip it up? God says, where's my Luchot? They're gone. What's the justification? Says the Gaon Mevilna. In Imre Noam, an incredible revelation. The Luchot represent Luchot HaBerit. The Luchot HaBerit are the tablets that represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because he made them, and whatever he makes is considered a part of him. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if we can get the Luchot, then we have established Berit with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the souvenir. That's the Kirita. That's the peace of God. If they make it to earth, we hold on to it, and that's it. The covenant is made with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he will not separate from us. So you know what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu's intention was just to get the Luchot down, because that will create the marriage between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and us. That will create the Brit. Luchot the Brit, after all. Just let's get married to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And all of a sudden, what happened? Borei Olam said, give me the Luchot back. And now started what we call a tug of war between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. God is saying, give me the Luchot back. Look at it in the mashal of a marriage. Where the Hatan comes to the wedding and he sees that the bride committed an act of rebelliousness. And he doesn't want to give the ring. And all of a sudden the rabbi comes, just give her the ring. I'm not going to give her the ring. She went, but just get married to him, then we'll deal with Shalom Bayit after. Then we'll worry about the problems after. Just give her the ring. I'm not giving the ring. And you see the rabbi pulling the ring out of the Hakan to give it. Once the ring is on the finger, finish. Because there's a mantov, it's over. Now we'll deal with the Shalom Bayit. Moshe Rabbeinu started to wrestle kibiyachol with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like the Gemara says in Berachot. As if he grabbed them by the shirt, and they're tugging on the Luchot. God says, give me the Luchot back. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Va'et pos, it says. Va'et pos means what? He grabbed. Who did he grab the Luchot from? He grabbed them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, you're giving them the Luchot. Broken Luchot is also okay. Because what's the difference? There's still a chelik of Hashem, broken or not. So he grabbed the Luchot, Moshe Rabbeinu, back and forth. The Maharal actually speaks about that they were pulling back and forth. God was holding the top of the Luchot, Moshe Rabbeinu was holding the bottom. And God tells Moshe, Hanihali, leave me alone, let go. Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't let go. I don't let go. Because if you take these back, you'll give me a second luchot. But the second luchot was synthetic. The second luchot were not made in heaven. The second luchot, God says to Moshe, Peson lecha. You don't make covenant with that. That's not a piece of God, the second luchot. The second luchot were friends. The second luchot, it's not the same. It's not permanent. It's not berit. Only the first luchot is berit. And God says to Moshe, Herif memeni, leave me alone. I will not leave you alone. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu wins the day and he grabs the luchot. He throws them down. Now, here's the key. Did the people have any idea what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing at that time? Of course not. They were scared. They were afraid. He broke the luchot. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew what he was doing. You remember when Yosef HaSadiq took Shimon and put him in prison? So what does the Pasuk say? Vayikah Yosef et Shimon. He took Shimon and he put him in the Beit HaSohar le'enehem. What does le'enehem mean? He had no intention to hurt Shimon. Le'enehem means it was marit ayin. It looked like he was going to hurt him, but it was only to their eyes, but it wasn't the intention. That's what the Gaon says, that when Moshe Rabbeinu threw the luchot, he says, v'ashabirim le'enehem. To your eyes it looked like I did something terrible, but ultimately I got you married that day. Ultimately, I made the berit. It was only le'enechem ba'ashabirim. But it wasn't a shebirah. Actually, this was a shebirah in order to build. Which means Moshe Rabbeinu, once he got the luchot down, he had an angry face. The people said, oh, Moshe's angry. But in his mind, he said, Baruch Hashem, Mekudesh b'zimantov. Mekudesh b'zimantov. I got the marriage. Now the question is, but the Hatan is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Hatan have to say? Did God want to get beat? Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed the luchot. Maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it doesn't count. This is against my will. Later on, Moshe Rabbeinu would take these broken pieces and God would say to him, take those broken pieces and put them in the Aron. Put them in the Aron, yes. Asher shibarta v'samtam ba'aron. The Aron Abrit. That means God says those broken pieces have value. The Kiddushin is a Kiddushin. Asher shibarta, the Gemara says, Yishar kohacha sheshibarta. Asher b'lashon yishar. God ultimately said, you did good. And therefore, when we go to the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did in his life, yes, he brought down the second luchot. Incredible, we don't have the Torah if we don't have the second luchot. Yes, all the wonders that he did for us in the Midbar, but the Torah ends with the greatest thing he ever did. Le'enei kol Yisrael. Remember what he did that day that he threw the luchot down. On that day, he caused the berit to be formed permanently with you and God. He made sure that that chelik of a Kadosh Baruch Hu will be by you. And now you hold on to this forever, you're connected to Hashem. He can't leave you. He won't leave you. That's the Gaon's interpretation. And that's the greatest thing Moshe Rabbeinu ever did. He forced the marriage. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you did the right thing. Yishar kohacha sheshibarta. Le'enei kol Yisrael. Le'eneihem, it was something catastrophic that he broke through the heart. But between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, they knew exactly what was taking place. And Borei Olam confirmed it. Based on this, Rabotai, there's a custom that we have at our weddings. As you know, we break the glass at the weddings. And many reasons have been given why we break the glass. The most obvious is because of the Churban of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. So we break a glass to commemorate the shattering of the temple. On the day that we build our home, we remember that God's home is in shambles. But other reasons have been given. Recently, I saw one of the Aharonim bring down strange reason. The reason why we break the glass at the wedding is to commemorate the breaking of the Luchot. Just like the luchot were broken and shattered into 1,000 pieces, we break the glass. And I asked a simple question. What's the kesher at a wedding to break the luchot? But now we understand the reason. The reason becomes obvious that just like we're commemorating a wedding between Hatam and Kala, we're going back to the original wedding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And what was the kesef? What was the ring in God's marriage? It was the broken luchot. That was the souvenir. Just like we give the bride a ring and we say, this is a brit now. You always look at the ring, you'll remember me. The ring is a piece of me. The ring, even if I have to travel, you look at the ring, you know, there's a covenant between us. So we break the glass in order to say, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted to take it back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I don't want to marry them. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, give it to me, we're going to get married to you. But we're fighting. Shalom bayit, we'll get after. Don't worry, we'll reconcile. And then he was right, we reconciled after. So somebody asked me when I said this. They said, hey, but Rabbi, if that's the case, why do you break it with your foot? You should throw it. If you're really doing the luchot. So to my delight, I looked at the Ben Ish Chai. If you have a Ben Ish Chai, you could look at it in Parashat Shofetim, Shana Rishona. I think Halakha Yud Aleph. The Ben Ish Chai says, V'nehagu be-Baghdad, to take a glass and to throw it against the wall and let it fall and shatter into many pieces. Oh, interesting. So in Baghdad, the custom was not to step on it. It was mamash to throw the glass. And now it makes sense to me. There's a custom now, it's a nouveau custom, and it probably has to do with making business. There's a lady in the community, she figured a new business now, that they break the glass, and then she saves the pieces, and then after she makes like a decoupage from the pieces, and for $99.99, she sells you the... It's a good business, I don't say no. In the beginning I was against it, because broken glass is the churban bet hamikdash, what are you doing? Get rid of it, this is the kilipot over here. But based on this, if we're learning it, that it's from the shivrei luchot, munachim ba'aron. These shivrei luchot over here represent v'samtam ba'aron, they represent a covenant. Therefore, we can justify it. That's probably why the hatam, when he gives the ring, what does he say? Hare at mekudeshet li. Which would have been enough, by the way. Hare at mekudeshet li. Kemo ha-Torah. Kemo she-sevita lanu ha-Torah. Ki yikach ish isha. But no, we have a different word. Hare at mekudeshet li. V'tabadzu kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. What is Moshe v'Yisrael? We're coming today that just like Moshe, he was the Shadchan. Moshe v'Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu great. Make sure the Hatan didn't run away. I grabbed the luchot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, we're giving them. We're not taking synthetic luchot. And God said, Hanihali, leave me alone. And the Gomer Vilna says, like the Gemara says, as if God, Moshe grabbed him. He grabbed the luchot, that's what it means. Which is a chelek of Hashem. And he made sure to get it down on earth. And ultimately God said, Asher Shibarta Yishar Kochacha, Kedat Moshe B'Yisrael. That's the Brit HaNisu'in. This is the great, great accomplishment of Moshe Rabbeinu. He made sure that this bond will be forever. You can't end the Torah with a better compliment. Le'eneko Yisrael, she'shavar et haluchot. Which is interesting. You know, the rabbis make a connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah, because the Torah is a loop. You know, Torah ends, and then we go right back to the beginning. So right after the Eneko Yisrael, we go to the beginning of the Torah. And the beginning of the Torah, which is really the first mitzvah, the Torah is Peru Urvu, which is getting married. So you see, there's a connection between the end. At the end of the Torah, we talk about the marriage between Moshe and Yisrael, and God and Yisrael with the Luchot. And then we say, okay, now we start, we go back to the loop of Peru Urvu, which is the marriage between men and wife. But it's the same covenant. What does this have to do with Pesach? They don't have to speak about Pesach. Probably has nothing to do with Pesach. But it's a good derasha nonetheless. Not everything has to be with Pesach. But because they said, I should say something about Pesach, and I see the great rabbis here, so I'll just connect it very simply. You know, we're learning Dafa Yomina, Masechet Pesachim. I don't know who's learning it. But we came across very, very strange statement. have to be careful how I say it. It sounds controversial, but it's coming from the Jerusalem Talmud. The Mishnah said that they don't want us to eat a matzah on Erev Pesach. They don't want us to eat matzah, a regular matzah. The matzah that you could eat on the night of Pesach for the mitzvah, Erev Pesach, which is this year Shabbat, is Erev Pesach. Normally you can't have matzah the whole day. The night you can, but the day you cannot. Why not? Hametz, we know you can't have after 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever time, you can't have hametz. But why can't you have matzah? So the Gemara says in Yerushalmi, to have matzah, we want you to have the matzah at night, b'te'avon, with the appetite. So you're going to jump the gun, you're going to eat the matzah early. So the Gemara says, you know what it's like? That a person gets engaged to a girl. He has irusin, haret mikudeshet. But he doesn't wait for the Sheva Berachot. Kibo'el arusato. He doesn't wait, he jumps the gun. I'm saying to myself, well, what kind of mashallah? Just say. Why do you have to be so graphic that a person eats matzah on Erev Pesach, kibo'el arusato bebet hamiv, as if he goes with his arusah prematurely? What's the explanation? Explanation is because if the person makes irusin, there's one more stage. You need to do Sheva Berachot. If you do the math, on Leil Seder, we make exactly 7 Berachot before we eat the matzah. Exactly 7 Berachot. There's many ways to count it. You have Gefen, and the Kiddush, Mekadesh, Yisrael Vazemanim, this year we're going to have Yaknahaz, but you have the regular Kiddush, which is a normal year, then you have the Karpas, and then you have Gaal Yisrael and the Haggadah, then you have Netilat Yadayim, then you have Hamotzi, and then you have Achilat Matzah. The 7th Berachah is Al Achilat Matzah. And therefore the Gemara is saying that on Leil Seder, when the person eats the Matzah, that already is ki'ilu, the nisu'in that you're making with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why I gave that mashal. That just like an arusa, you have Sheva Berachot, the eating of the matzah is like... Listen, I don't want to say things that I didn't see brought down in the Sefarim, because this I didn't see in the Sefarim. It's my own. But for dirash purposes, I'll say it. We're commemorating the marriage between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we do on Leil Seder? We have to remember the broken luchotan because that was the kedushin. So where do we remember the broken luchotan Leil Seder? Hazak baruch. The second matzah. Why the second matzah? Because the matzot represent Kohen, Levi, Israel. Who broke the luchot? Moshe. Which shevet is Moshe? Levi. So we take the second matzah. This is Kesef Kedushin, this matzah. We crack it over there. The Kavanah is what? The breaking of the Luchot. Why would you want to remember such a tragic... It's not a tragic event. The breaking of the Luchot is Mikudesh HaMizah Mantov. And now we come on the 7th Beracha and we grab the middle matzah. That's where we make Achilat Matzah, the middle matzah. And we say, Al Achilat Matzah, and you hear God in heaven, you're married to me tonight. The Kedushin is turning into the Su'in, the marriage is done. Therefore, Leil Pesach is an affirmation of this berit, of this covenant between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's done al yidei achilat matzah. Therefore, we have to cherish the achilat matzah. This eating is not like a regular eating of a cracker or a wafer. The eating of the matzah, Leil Pesach, is already taking a helek eloka mimal. You're taking a piece, kevyachol, Koret HaBerit. And you're eating it with that kavanah of affirming and creating the bind between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're great days. We're great days. The holiday 7 days, that's like the 7 days of the Chuppah, the 7 days of Shev Berachot. You'll see a lot of correlations between the Hag HaPesach and this inyan of the Nisuin, the marriage between us, Kevyachol and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was done again by Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the lesson for us, Rabotai. The lesson for us is that when we come towards these days over here, we have to, like a Hatan and Kala, they prepare. You can't just go cold into the ceremony. These are the days of preparation. The days of preparation are done through the studying of the Halachot of Pesach, to the preparation of the Derashot for the Haggadah, the ladies, God bless them, to the preparations of the Nikayon, the cleanliness and the home and the preparing of the foods and so on. And then, Be'ezat Hashem, when we come to Lel Pesach, we break the matzah, the middle matzah, you have kabbanah, the breaking of the luchot. But we'll say the breaking of the luchot, which is something to celebrate. And then we'll come along after seven blessings. Now it's not bo'el arusato bebet hamiv. Now it's bo'el arusato after sheva berachot. And then you'll hear in the heavens, mekudeshet besimantov. Eskud shanim rabot, ne'imot, v'tovot.